Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking about the best smartphones of 2019. Now what we've done is we've looked at all the phones that we have reviewed, looked at their scores and listed the phones that received the highest rating points. So in our scale, the overall rating, the max that phones can get right now is 9. I don't think we've ever had a 10 on 10 smartphone in our reviews. So we looked at all the phones that got that 9 rating and of course, there's a lot of nuance to that. Where some phones received higher ratings for camera, some received it for software, etc. Now, we looked at the best phones of 2019 and we've compiled this list. And the person who did that is here with us on this podcast. That's our reviews editor, Jamshed Awari.
Hi.
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So what we're going to do here is, we are not going to be speaking about all the phones that we've listed in the article. I think there are about 16 or 18 of them in the article itself. We are going to be talking about the best of these that we think deserve to be highlighted. And in the end, we'll tell you which other phones made it to the list. And you can always go to gadgets360.com and read the article for some more details on some of these phones. We have reviews of all of them on the site, as I mentioned before. So first, let's start by maybe looking at some of the criteria that, you know, we had in mind before we made this list. So, Jamshed, how did you go about creating this list?
Well, as you said, we looked at all the reviews we've done over the course of this year, and that is in excess of 100. We looked at all the scores and the subscores that we've given any product. So, we disqualified products that would have gotten a very low score in any particular subcategory except for value for money. And we didn't really find many because once you get to the point where you're developing a device that's so good across the board, it's very rare for a company to say, okay, you know, we're really going to drop the ball in terms of camera quality or in terms of battery life. So there's no phone that really let us down in that sense. Value for money, we made the exception for the simple reason that a lot of these phones tend to be very expensive. So, that's also very subjective. So there's no real way to disqualify a phone that's exceeding the bounds of what you'd expect from a phone and then penalizing it for being expensive.
So yeah, it was not exactly easy to create this list, even though we had an exhaustive data bank with us. And well, now that we have done this, so let's start by talking about some of these phones. So which one do you want to start with, Jamshed? Any particular phone that stood out?
So if you check out the list that we published on our website, we've gone in no particular order. This is not a ranking list. So let's just go randomly.
All right. So how about we start with OnePlus, since that company has made a few positive steps and a few missteps this year.
Yeah.
So what I would say is that the OnePlus 70 and 70 Pro, largely they got most things right, particularly with the 70. 70 Pro now does not have too many exclusive features. That is something that probably can be held against it considering additional price. So OnePlus 7 and 7 Pro, on the other hand, they are beginning to look increasingly outdated, and the people who bought those phones probably will be very upset.
Well, there's a reason that this company refreshes so rapidly. And yes, those phones are technically outdated now, but that doesn't mean that they aren't still good phones by any, you know, by overall standards. And we've seen them going on sale. So for example, the OnePlus 7 went on sale for under 30,000 rupees, which made it great value. And we think that that model should have continued to exist at that price point alongside the 7T and the 7T Pro. And we've recently seen even the OnePlus 7 Pro go on sale, and that's, if you can find it at a good price, you know, you'll get features like the pop-up camera, the notchless screen, things that people really look for in a device at that premium level without spending a whole lot. And it's debatable whether you'd really benefit from the marginal difference that the Snapdragon 855 Plus offers over the Snapdragon 855. So the OnePlus 7T introduced more good features and updates over the OnePlus 7 than the OnePlus 7T Pro did over the OnePlus 7 Pro.
Yeah, true that. And the OnePlus 7 Pro's price came down to about 42,000 or so in most recent sales. And at that price, it was beginning to compete with the 7T itself. And even with that, I'd probably say that the 7T is the better buy overall, since you get slightly more refreshed hardware. And also, I think you get Android 10 out of the box. So things like that do count.
Yeah. So the company's policy of splitting, starting with the OnePlus 7, into two different price tiers, it sort of made sense. But now we're wondering exactly how far this company can push into the super premium flagship, you know, wannabe flagship territory without offering absolutely everything, such as wireless charging and a proper waterproofing rating and, you know, the extra high resolution screen and all the other little conveniences that you can get with something like an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy model, even the previous generation ones, which tend to come down in price and maybe meet it at that level.
Yeah, true that. So, in all, I mean, probably these two phones deserve to be in the list. I'm not entirely sure about their predecessors. Would we call them the best phones of 2019?
So, here's the thing. We didn't look at the best phones at this moment. We looked at the best phones at the time of their reviews and at the time of their launches at any point this year. So, by that token, yes, those phones did very well for their time. They were some of the first 2019 flagship devices with that that level of specifications and the variety of cameras and the things that they offered. So yes, but they have been superseded.
Yeah, true that. Okay, so now maybe let's talk about the Samsung smartphones. Now Samsung has released the Galaxy Note 10 Plus, the Galaxy Note 10, and we also got the S10, S10e and S10 Plus. So five phones in all that we can consider, because
and quite a few A series phones nipping at the heels.
Yeah, true that. So in our reviews, I think the S series, which is the flagship, and the Note series, these two performed the best, and I think the Note 10 Plus was particularly outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, I think it should go without saying that Samsung's flagship phones should make it to the list of the best phones, because that's pretty much what they aim for. And like I said, we weren't really considering price because these are truly innovative phones. Maybe with this generation, there wasn't so much that would have made you rush out and go buy them. But if you liked features like, you know, the hole in the screen for a camera rather than a notch, or just the slickness of them, the metal bodies, the glass, the performance level that you can get, these phones definitely did meet all our criteria. And with the Notes in particular, you had a larger device than ever, as you know, that is also par for the course. You have the S Pen gaining some new functionality. So if you really want to feel that you have the absolute best of the best, there is that.
Yeah.
And let's not talk about the Galaxy Fold here. Now, we haven't included that because we haven't technically reviewed it. The company didn't want us to run it through our entire gamut of tests, which is perhaps understandable. But you can see that, again, if price is no bar for you, and if you pick that phone to be the absolute best of the best in terms of uniqueness and modernity and features and just the ability to show off and to make people take a, you know, take a double take.
Like a head turner.
Yeah, exactly. So that is also kind of nipping at the Galaxy S and 10 series from above, while the A series is encroaching from below. So you've got a lot of choice.
Yeah, true that. But Note 10 Plus definitely did perform really well in our review. And it was a memorable phone in the sense that it did what it was supposed to do. And the stuff that they added, that was my only complaint with the phone, I think. The stuff that they added with the stylus, those air gestures, felt a bit gimmicky. But otherwise, all around fairly.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as incremental improvements go, not bad at all. And you have to say that these phones do have excellent cameras in all conditions for all use cases. And that is something that the lower tier of flagship killers or value flagships, as they are variously referred to, don't necessarily make the cut.
Yeah, one small point to add here. We did compare the cameras of the iPhone 11 Pro and the Samsung Galaxy Note 10 Plus. And we did find that the Note 10 Plus came out ahead in low light video performance, which was surprising to say the least. But it was very, very good to see, because any improvements in this space are more than welcome as far as we are concerned.
Yeah, and Huawei didn't bring its flagship phone to India this year, in the latter half of the year at least, because of its ongoing Android issues, licensing issues. So that left the competition thinner.
Yeah, let's not forget the Pixel 4, like not the another phone that wasn't released in India. And that's probably because of that radar chip that they use there, the 60.
That is because of that, yes.
Yeah, so I don't think that's legal in India to sell devices running that chip in particular. So unfortunately, that couldn't make it here. So we couldn't include two phones, one from Huawei, one from Google, in this list. That's quite sad, actually. And the Pixel 3, I don't think it performed that well in our review. So, you know, I don't think it could make
the Pixel 3 was a bit hamstrung by Google's philosophy of only having one camera and doing the rest in software. And clearly now we see that the company has realized that it can't go very far with that.
Yeah, true that. So, well, unfortunately, no Pixels in this list. But what we do have is a couple of iPhones. Now, Apple had a pretty good year in terms of what we saw with their camera technology and a couple of other things that I would highlight in a bit. First, iPhone 11 and 11 Pro Max are the ones we reviewed. We did not review the 11 Pro this year.
But you can pretty much consider it virtually identical to the Pro Max,
apart from
the screen size and the battery capacity and the physical handling.
Yeah, so 11 and Pro Max both performed really well in our reviews, and we did say that these two phones in terms of the camera have improved quite a bit. The addition of night mode was another really nice touch, something that worked really well in our tests as well. And we also ran a camera comparison with the 11 Pro and the Note 10 Plus, as I mentioned before, and overall the 11 Pro came out ahead in most conditions for still photos and videos. We've seen that it is ahead. Still some work can be done in the low light space because the Note 10 Plus was pulling out ahead in a couple of places, and I suppose we'll see that coming in the next iPhone. But until then, the one last thing I wanted to highlight before I let you take over is that the iPhone 11's pricing was also much better than what we saw with the original price of the iPhone XR. The iPhone 11 starts at 64,900 rupees, whereas the original price of the XR was around 76,900 rupees.
Yes.
And since the price cut for the XR, that's become a really good value for money option. Whereas those who want a new phone, a new iPhone specifically, and don't want to spend around 1 lakh rupees, which is what the iPhone 11 Pro costs, then you can get the iPhone 11 at 65,000.
So the XR is going to do very well, I think, and we've seen that it's priced much lower than even that when it goes on sale. But coming back to this year's models, I think what we've seen is Apple really realizing that it has to catch up in a lot of areas. We saw the fast charger, at least to the Pro models, and I mean, it's not the best, but it's something. The screen still has a notch. Now, that's something that makes Apple actually look a little regressive. A lot of people complained that the body and the design weren't entirely new, and it looks like we'll see that next year. But the 11 Pros definitely did offer a lot of incremental improvements. We've seen the cameras take a significant leap forward. We saw a lot of good software features coming in the latest version of iOS. And I think that these phones represent a decent opportunity for anyone with an iPhone 6 to 8 who's looking for an upgrade. You know, the 11 especially, the XR if you're budget constrained, and the 11 Pro or Pro Max if you are, you know, somebody who buys a phone every couple of years and just wants the best and wants it to last.
Yeah, I don't think I could have summed it up any better. So there you go. You have a range of options now if you want the latest iPhone, and you don't have to pay 1 lakh rupees to get a new iPhone, as we saw, I think.
But you'd be very happy if you did.
Yeah, true that. Okay, so now moving on to some of the more affordable smartphones from this year, which also made it in this list. Redmi K20 Pro is one major pick from Xiaomi. We also had a couple more picks from Xiaomi, Redmi Note 8 Pro and the Redmi Note 7 Pro. Each of these phones made it to the list for a different reason. Redmi K20 Pro, because it sort of ushered that value flagship thing where, you know, we used to think that OnePlus used to be the most awesome value flagship. Now Redmi K20 Pro came and changed the script a bit. It offered a phone with the Snapdragon 855, a really powerful processor under 30,000 rupees. And now because of that, we are seeing competitors such as Realme also doing something similar. We'll get to that in a bit. Now Redmi Note 8 Pro and Note 7 Pro under 15,000 rupees. Once again, each of these phones raise the bar a bit for the competition, and that way you get better phones at more affordable prices. So what's not to like?
Yeah, so as far as the K20 Pro goes, this definitely stole some of that budget flagship thunder from OnePlus. We definitely saw a gap left in the market that was free for anybody to fill, and of course they rushed in. Now Xiaomi has been very tentative with the high-end phone space, and for high-end we mean around 30,000 by their standards, right? So we saw the company launch with the Mi series, then focus on the Redmis, then try, you know, a couple of models. But now they definitely seem to have realized that the Redmi brand is strong enough and people do like it enough to be willing to accept a much higher priced Redmi phone. So we had the K20 and the K20 Pro both made it to our list.
But we had no Poco F2 this year.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's very strange, considering how well received the Poco F1 was. But we think the company is just experimenting with its strategy, and it, we'll see where that goes. There's still space for that to launch. Yes, the K20 Pro offered a lot of interesting features. It looked great. It was built great. Good materials, excellent specifications. And it really did very well considering the price that Xiaomi has targeted.
Yeah.
The Note 8 Pro didn't quite make it to our list. It's an honorable mention. And that's simply because the overall quality of the cameras and the performance that you get, despite it being very low priced, didn't quite match up to the standard that we would expect for a truly, truly disruptive phone. That said, Xiaomi knows what it's doing with pricing and knows what it's doing when it picks specifications, and especially when it decides what variants, the configurations of each of the variants that it offers. So this phone has done very well. And before it, the Redmi Note 7 Pro, which also launched within this calendar year, for exactly the same reasons, was extremely, extremely popular.
Yeah, so good to see that the company is pushing, you know, all of these other competitors as well. And the primary one for Redmi, of course, has been Realme. Now, these two phones, the phone company's names are pretty similar. And more than once, we've gotten confused and we've just called it, you know, either the Realme Note 8 Pro or the Redmi X2.
Oh, yeah, we've had to take so many retakes when doing our videos and excuse ourselves on the podcast and all sorts of things.
Yeah, so the strategy for Realme has been just find every single Xiaomi product, whichever is doing well at whatever price range, and try and do like one better.
I'm not sure that's entirely true, because I mean, it doesn't take a lot to realize that, you know, the 10,000 rupee price point and 12,000 and 15,000 rupee price points are highly competitive. Yes, they have constantly refreshed their products in order to deal with fresher competition from Xiaomi. But that just shows that the company really wants to be the best in the segment. They've done a lot that's unique in terms of their styling, in terms of camera features, in terms of also trying to identify what might swing a purchase decision in their favor when you have 5 or 6 choices at a particular price point. And this company also isn't shy of releasing multiple variants with more RAM and more storage, just in order to try and knock a different phone off its perch, you know, because when you get to this point, we can say that 10,000 rupees is one segment, sub 10,000 and sub 15,000 is another. But honestly, every 1,000 rupee increment in between, every 500 rupee increment in between, you've got a different choice that makes the most sense.
Yeah, true that. I mean, I completely agree with you on that. So the Realme phones that made it to our list were pretty good, actually. We were seriously impressed with the Realme X2 Pro, another smartphone that was able to offer some insane specifications at the sub 30,000 rupee price range. And similarly, the Realme X and another phone, which is the Oppo K3. Now, you must be wondering why Realme X and Oppo K3 have been lumped together here. It's because they are basically the same phone with slightly different things here and there, such as, you know, the brand name, color choices, and basic things like 4GB RAM in the base variant of one of them and 6GB RAM with 64GB of storage.
Yeah, and if I believe off the top of my head, if I'm remembering this correctly, they have slightly different cameras as well.
Maybe very, very slightly, but I don't think we found too much of a difference. When Royden, who's our deputy reviews editor, he was the one who reviewed both the phones, and he kept saying that this is like deja vu. I just reviewed the Realme X and the Oppo K3s here. Literally everything is the same, maybe some minor changes here and there, but I feel like I'm reviewing the same phone again. So that's why these two phones are here. So Realme X2 Pro, Realme X, Oppo K3, these three made it to our list for different reasons, correct?
So while Xiaomi actually angered buyers a little bit by going slightly over 20,000 rupees with what was it,
K20.
See, that's a prime example of this confusion we talked about. So Realme and Oppo both strategically went sub 20,000, and these phones actually struck pretty good balances in terms of the features, the style, again, everything, battery life, camera performance. These guys know that Indian buyers, especially those who buy online without ever touching or feeling a phone, they really want to be very certain of things like the battery capacity, the kind of fast charging, the screen measurements, the RAM, the storage. All these little things matter very, very much.
Yeah. So I was actually pretty impressed with the Realme X in particular, because that phone delivered a pop-up selfie camera, a notchless display at, I think, 16,000 rupees or so when the was the launch price.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note that the Realme X2, which just launched and we weren't able to review it in time to include it in our lists, but the Realme X2 actually goes backward in some of those cases because it's much more like the Realme XT. So you don't get that notchless screen, you don't get the pop-up camera, you don't get quite the same level of finesse. But that's what the company might have needed to do in order to hit these prices.
Yeah, true that. And also it does feel to me as if the Realme X and the Realme U1, these were two slightly outlier kind of a product. Which, you know, Realme released and then kind of forgot about.
Yeah, so you kind of have the company experimenting with tipping the scales in a different direction. Like, let's look at style a little more than specifications. And now we see the balance shifting backwards.
Yeah, true. So I really wish they had invested more in the Realme X kind of a design as opposed to the Realme XT kind of design.
Well, there's no telling what we'll see in the near future.
Yeah, true that. So, well, if you're hoping for a phone with a pop-up selfie camera, maybe next year something will come up. Anyway, Realme has released what an insane number of phones in the last 1.5 years or so,
and just look at the last couple of months.
Yeah, I really wish that slows down, because I've absolutely had enough of, you know, people getting a phone and within 3 months it being replaced with a fresh one.
Yeah, and we'd actually like to be able to take a vacation once in a while, so yes, please stop.
Yeah, true that. So I think that covers the best of the best of the list that we made, but there are also some other picks which we'd probably say are either honorable mentions or some phones that stood out to us for various reasons, such as the Oppo Reno 10X Zoom Edition, which I believe you reviewed.
Yes, so this phone vastly undercut Huawei's P30 in terms of pricing. It introduced the 6X optical zoom camera. It's bulky, it's a little difficult to handle, it's certainly not for everyone, but if you are into photography or if you think that you might have use for it, there's really, really nothing like having the ability to pull off that level of optical zoom. And it's remarkable that both companies managed to implement such features in a smartphone. Interestingly, we haven't seen these features continue on refreshed products in the later half of this year. As far as a niche is concerned, they definitely stand out and they're unmatched.
True, I completely agree with you that one particular thing, right, that optical zoom, that adds quite a bit to a phone's camera. And at that time when we reviewed it, I think it had also stood out for the design that it used.
Oh yeah, there's no denying that this phone performed very well. It looked great. Battery life and everything was not a problem.
Yeah, the shark fin design module of that was, well, at that time, I think it was the first phone to get that kind of a design, so it looked innovative as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, the rear camera, of course, stole the show for reasons I just detailed. Yeah. Couple of other phones that we should probably mention, one of them is the Vivo U20, and that phone stood out because it offered the Snapdragon 675, a very powerful processor, at a price of 11,000 rupees, which we've not seen before.
Vivo is also now playing the online-only, low-cost, low-margin game.
Just like its cousins, Realme, OnePlus, and Oppo.
Yeah, there's a lot of internal competition. I'd love to be a fly on the wall at the BBK
electronics meeting.
Overall head office and board meetings. Yeah. But these phones have proven to be very, very popular, the U series and the Z series from Vivo. In fact, they make Vivo's own V and Y series phones look strangely unappealing. That's a very interesting decision that the company has made, whereas most other companies have spun off a little sub-brand when they did adopt this strategy in order to look a little different and to not dilute their brand value. So these phones have been very good and we've recommended them Yeah, if you're looking at that budget level, then by all means, take a look at the Vivo U series.
Yeah, true that. All right, Samsung Galaxy M40 also made it to this list for a reason.
Yeah, so that is sort of representative of Samsung's overall strategy this year with the M series, which was introduced, and the A series, which was reinvented. The company also obviously finally let go of its pretensions and jumped wholeheartedly into the low-cost online-only sales model. The M40 was very impressive at the time that it launched. It certainly looked like Samsung was going to give Xiaomi and its other competitors very serious competition. This phone had the hole in the screen for the camera. You know, a lot of things that people do look for in order to stand out. And yeah, it was a very attractive phone at the time that it launched.
Yeah, and I think finally the Realme 3 Pro is another phone that we did mention in this list.
Yes. We also did mention the Asus ROG phone too.
Oh, yes. I completely forgot about that.
Which
yeah.
was very powerful. Again, not for everybody. It's targeted a specific niche, but the phone seems to be selling quite healthily. Very great, very good in terms of power. It had the innovative air triggers on the sides. Rather large ecosystem of accessories all designed around gaming. And if you're a PUBG mobile freak, or if you just really want to have a sort of phone that you can show off and be unique with, then that's a different direction, but also made it to our list.
Yeah, only thing with that phone was that the base variant and the higher variant, I think there was a 30,000 rupee gap in terms of the pricing.
It was a huge gap.
Yeah, I think maybe 22,000. Yeah, so 38,000 rupees or so was the base variant's price, and the higher variant was around 60,000. They were bundling some other additional accessories.
Yeah, you got the air cooler, I believe, and the higher power charger.
And I think a better case also, the AeroActive case or something was in the box. And like you said, the 30-watt charger, fast charger was also there. In the base variant, you got 18 watts. But I still think that the base variant has good enough specifications. 8 GB of RAM, I think, was there in the base variant. And that's pretty
great
good.
Great screen, 120Hz. Its refresh rate.
Yeah. And the accessories anyway, I don't think they're like something essential that you can't live without. So.
No, but they're there.
Yeah.
You know, and not a lot of other companies are doing that. So yes.
Yeah, true that.
Made
so
it to our list.
I think probably if you're looking for a gaming smartphone and you have a budget of around 40,000 rupees, Asus ROG Phone 2 is probably what you can get. But don't forget that this phone is quite heavy. 240 grams, if I'm not mistaken, is the weight of the smartphone. So it's probably, if you're going to be using it in landscape mode, which is what most gamers would do, then it's not a problem at all. The weight is pretty evenly distributed and you won't really face too many issues. But if you're going to be using it in portrait mode for things such as taking photos, making calls, and basic things like that, then you probably would want to consider that phone's weight and make your purchase decision accordingly. All right, finally, Realme 3 Pro.
Oh, yes.
So this is a budget phone. When it launched, we were pretty happy to see that, you know, Realme has done really well to compete with Xiaomi. And over time, this phone has aged really well. Like that's
yes,
something that I've
been
very surprised
with. Yes, and it's still available. It's fallen in price and it's still great value.
Yeah.
This was one of the phones that really cemented Realme's trajectory here. You know, it really made us realize that how serious this company is in terms of the resources it has and the amount of weight it's putting behind. Because plenty of competitors to Xiaomi have come and gone. You know, Asus tried with budget phones and didn't quite work out. Motorola's largely not pulling that strategy anymore. Samsung has tried, but they haven't quite refreshed their phones as often and stayed on that edge as much. You know, a number of other companies come to mind. But Realme seems to be in it for the long haul. The 3 Pro was very, very competitive at the time that it was released. And it had significant impact on the market. And the Realme 5 Pro and 5 XT to an extent have succeeded it. And have also done very well for themselves.
Yeah, true that. All right, so I think that wraps the list of the best phones of 2019. Now, if you had any particular phone in mind that was not a part of this list, feel free to write to us and let us know why you think it should have been a part of this list. You can contact us via email at podcast@gadgets360.com, or you can just follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360 and write to us via these channels. Now, if you're listening to this podcast via any podcast app, such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, Google Podcasts on your Android phone, please do rate it, review it, and subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with one more episode next week.